David Lichtenstein. This week we will have a fabulous program, and we will be discussing pharmaceutical products, cosmetics, what on Pesach needs a Hechsher and what doesn't. You have that mysterious pill you got from your doctor, and you go on all the Pesach lists. You go to Rabbi Bess, his book, and you take out Rabbi Heber's book, and you just can't find it. Well, what needs a Hechsher and what doesn't? You know, that new mascara from MAC or whatever the name of the company is, right? So we're going to have a great group of, we have Rabbi Gershon Bess. He's the head of the Kol of Los Angeles. He's the head of the Rabbinical Council of California. He's the author of the Pesach Directory for Medicines and Cosmetics, which is in so many people's homes. We're speaking to the author of the book and the co-author, Rabbi David Heber, who's the foremost expert in the field of kosher pharmaceuticals. He's from the Star K. He's the head of Kashrus for Pesach products. And we will also have, from Cleveland, we have four cities this week, we will have Rabbi Baruch Hirschfeld, the great dayan of Cleveland, speaking about Shmura vis-a-vis hand matzah. We will be speaking to Rabbi Yosef Weiner from Wesley Hills. I don't know, very interesting questions about Shmura matzah and hand matzah. What happens if the hand matzah is more kosher? They do it more quickly. Is it a chumra then? So we'll be talking to them. You can listen to us Matzah Shabbos 11:12 midnight and WMCA 570 AM on the radio or on the Nachum Siegel Network, again on 11 AM on Nachum Siegel on Monday morning. All our programs, if you're not up this late at night, at HeadlinesTorah.com. HeadlinesTorah, that's one word, .com. Or on our hotline, 732-806-8700, where you can both listen to this and all past shows, as well as leave messages. You can always email any questions to info@headlinesbook.com. I try to answer as many as I have the time to. I have a full day job, so it's not always have the time for it. So before we go to our guests, I always like to say something about the time. So let me share with you a Pesach story. You know, I grew up, my father was a Rav for many years in many different cities across America. I remember him sharing a story. He said his first shtela when he left Kollel, this is going back in the 50s, was in Danbury, Connecticut. And he got there, it was a little while before Pesach, maybe, a couple of weeks before Pesach, very small crowd in the shul. And Pesach, a giant crowd comes. And guess what? He wasn't told this. I guess it didn't come with a handbook. The ladies didn't want to sit in the ladies section. It was a more egalitarian, for lack of a better word, modern. Putnoy used to get upset. He said, modern. He said, what's modern about not observing halacha? He said, Terach didn't observe halacha. On the contrary, modernity is when they discovered a set of moral codes. So he said, so he used to laugh at the word modernity. But the women joined them in the men's section, and my father got up. He was a young Rav. He was out of Kol. And he said, look, this is not acceptable. And he spoke, he couldn't convince them. So he went home, and he said, I davened all the Pesach tefillos at home. And that's the Pesach. He told my mother, he said, we're leaving. He said, where are we going? He said, I don't know. But if it's not within the halachic standards, he said, I can't stay here. And that was the type of Maseiras Nefesh, my father, whose Yahrzeit just passed, that the generation upon whose shoulders we stand, our burgeoning community here in America, we have to pay homage and respect for those who had so much Maseiras Nefesh. Today you can go for Pesach on a chazen cruise someplace in the Caribbean while eating shmura matzah and freshly ground myrrh. In those days, it wasn't necessarily so simple. I'd like to put in a small with prejudice advertisement for Headlines 2. It came out around 2 weeks ago, and according to the OU, who's my publisher, they said it has just about sold out, and they're going to go on to the second publication. And I think it's very exciting. Here's a letter I got from a fellow in Monroe, New York, not exactly. He says, Dear Mr. Lichtenstein, I bought Headlines 2. I had never seen anything like it before. I was up till 3:30 in the morning reading it. So this is signed, and I say, I talk about topics you're not going to hear about from your Rebbe, from your Rebbe, from your Yeshiva, because most of them happened this year, now, current, new. And also, let's face it, I don't have a shtela that I have to particularly I don't have a rabbinic shtetl that I have to fear about. So we can really broach things that bother you and you're curious about or you feel are important that others just don't broach. And I took 25 or so of our best programs and I put them into this book. And with the Rabbanim's opinion, if we had Rav Moshe Sternbuch on the show disagreeing, it says, and here was Rav Moshe Sternbuch's opinion, here's Rav David Cohn's opinion, here's Rav Herschel Shem, all the great Rabbanim from, basically, we've had three or four continents on, we put them right in. So if you are a listener, you will see it, but in-depth studied with the comments. I urge you to be, maybe if you go to this farm store, maybe they still have one left. If not, after Yom Tov, there will be a second shipment. I think you will find it interesting, fascinating, and you will have actually something to talk to your kids about, your teenagers, and they're going to look at you and they said, wow, Papa and Mama, how did they get so smart? So let me say a small Pesach thought. Let me share a Pesach thought. So it's the Warsaw Ghetto. It's 1942. It's the last Seder in the Warsaw Ghetto. It's in a bunker. It's underground. And there's 100 starving, emaciated Jews together. And a child, there were still children, if you look at the pictures, the little children who started before they were killed, and gets up and he asks the four questions in his quavery voice. And there's silence. And then an old man sits up and he says, I have a fifth question. And they say, what's the fifth question? He says, I have a new question. He said, why is Jews, look at us here together. We're Litvisha, Hasidisha, Hungarians, Polish, Ashkenazim, maybe some Sephardim, poor, rich, tall, strong, religious, irreligious, all together. He said, why as Jews do we know how to live together? Do we know how to die together so well? He said, why can't we learn how to live together? Why do we have to wait? And it's true. When it comes to dying together, we do it so well. You know, let me share with you something holy. Do you know that in every single perek of Mishnayos, there's a machlokes? Right away, there's a machlokes, chachamim. From when? When do you start? Hanif necha, right? Lechel betrumasan, right away, ad chatzois, whatever. We go right away to a machlekes. The last mention in Uktzin, chalas dvash, again a machlekes. There's only one perik in the entire Mishnayos where there's no machlekes. You know what that is? Eze mekayma in sholzvachim. Where do we shecht? Where are the sacrifices brought? Where are the holy sacrifices brought? Where they killed the Jews, over there was no machlokes. Everybody came together. There's no Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim there. So this is the question of this old man. Why can't we live together? Let me share with you. Everybody wonders. The Haggadah is the Sefer, the story of redemption, of Geula, of liberty. How does it start? Something strange. Halach banya. Kol dichvin. You open the door. Whoever is hungry, please come in. Whoever is needy. You know, you have people, they're not hungry, they're millionaires, but they're needy, they have no family. You could be needy and have money. Very, very needy. Kol dichvin yesev yechol. Kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. What does this start? What does this have to do with Geula? And I put to you, doesn't the Bavli say in Gittin and Daphne and Gimel that the Churban was because of Sinas Chinam, because we were judgmental and we didn't love each other, we judged each other harshly. So the Sefer of Geula is, I won't judge you, come on in, everybody, please come in, needy, hungry, old, from, the Russians invited to the Seder. You know what I say? I remember that I grew up in a, I used to hear that in Satma, I grew up in Borough Park, they used to say, Shai Gitzaros, infidel, outside. You know what the Seder tells us? We give the Rasha his time. We say, Fakert, Shai Gitzarain, come in, let's talk, let's keep a connection, let's keep our arms around each other. I won't judge you. The beginning of Geula is when we say, my doors are open. I love you. You're different. I love you. And what's the end of Geula? The Heshiv Lev Avais Albanim. Fathers and sons, how often do they disagree? You know, your father and you, your mother and you had different ideas of what you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to look like. Sometimes you acted out on it. Sometimes out of respect, we don't act out on it. But each one, we live our own lives. We're required to live our own lives. Avram was very different than Yitzchak, Chesed and Din. Yitzchak was very different than Yaakov. But what does it say, Lasid Lavei? The Heshiv Lev Avei Salbanim. The end of Geula is when we stop being judgmental and we say, you're different and I can still love you. Now, here's something I want to add on, though. There's a difference between not being judgmental but not having a sense of judgment. You should certainly maintain your judgment. It's about being ambivalent. Like, yeah, every type of religion is fine. No, for myself, it's not. I have to maintain judgment, but I have to drop judgmentalism. It's a very fine line. A lot of people, a lot of mechanchim, a lot of parents, a lot of me's and you's. So gullus is about disconnection, alienation, jealousy. Geula is about love and acceptance. And let me tell you, in Sefer Bereishis, it's all about judgmentalism. Cain and Hevel, hate, right? Go to Parshas Noah, chum, hate, right? In fact, I'll show you something. The first gullus in the Torah, it says, Vayiskal betzocha oil, by chum. The first, and Chazal say, Vayiskal is milashin gullus. The first gullus in the Torah is when a father and son, they judged each other. Family strife is the first gullus. You know where the tikkun of that is? After Cain and Hevel, after Cham, after Yitzchak and Esav, after Avram and Yitzchak and Yishmael, after constant war, judgment, hatred, the Shvatim, Al Arba Pisha Yisrael, when they sold Yosef, right? Talk about brothers selling, hatred. It all ends. It's one beautiful story at the end of Bereishis. There's only one time in the Torah, one time, where we find one of the Avos hugging somebody else, a hug. And you know what that is? It's when Yaakov hugs Ephraim and Manasseh, the beloved grandchildren who he waited so many years to see. It says he kichamnu elayv Avraham, and he hugs them, right? But right, here's what's interesting. Right before he hugs them, why is this the only hug in the Torah? Why is the only hug in the Torah Yaakov to his grandchildren? And let me give you a possibility. You know the difference between a kiss and a hug? A kiss is pale pay. Shakeni minashikais piyu. You look into the other person's eyes. There's a meeting of the minds. When we kiss, the Ari says we pull in to try to become echad. We want to fuse. Total agreement. A hug is very, very different. A hug is cheek to cheek, looking past the other person. A kiss says, I agree with you, I'm one with you, let's be one, I love you. A hug says, I don't understand you at all. I don't see eye to eye with you, but I can still love you. I can love you and not judge you. What does it say right before he hugs Ephraim and Manasseh? The mom says, they came in from the street. They were dressed like little Egyptians, like little Arabs. And he looks at them and he says, Mi Ela, who are these children? And Yaakov says, these are the children. Yosef says to Yaakov, these are the children, look, who I bore with my wife here in Mitzrayim. He takes out his ksuba. Yaakov says, I don't understand these Egyptians. They don't look Jews to me. And at the end of time, what is Yaakov going to say when the Jews come from Poland? The lawyer from America, from South America, from Egypt, from Africa, Sephardim, Ashkenazim, Ethiopians. Is he going to recognize all them? So Yaakov says, you know, to all his children, all of my children from six continents, from 180 countries, I'll never speak your languages. I'll never understand you. Yaakov says, bring them here to me. Let me hug you. You're so different from me. But I know that I love you. I don't see eye to eye. I'll never understand you. I'll never understand the challenges of a Jew in America. Internet. You never... I mean, the world we live in. Amazon, Echo, I'll never understand that. I'll never see eye to eye. Bring here, let me love you. So the message for this Pesach is, wherever you're sitting, hug the person next to you. Hug the person you love and understand the least.
Let's go to our guests. From Baltimore, Rabbi David Heber, Kashrus Administrator of the Star K. He's a Talmud of Ner Yisrael, and he's a Talmud of Rav Kalevsky. Welcome, Rabbi Heber.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
So given the complexity of, there are probably 100,000 different medications and medical-related products on the market, and, you know, the difficulty of these, you know, for the consumer, of the tortuous alleys of winding our way through that, can you help us a little bit? I'm going to ask you a number of questions and help our audience through these. Let me start with which prescription medicines, and there are so many, may be taken on Pesach, and which may not? And it's a very broad question, so feel free to divide it, you know, parse and parcel it.
Absolutely. Okay, sure. It's a very important question, and many people have that before Pesach. Really, to answer that question, a person first has to determine what status of chola, what status of illness they have, and why they're taking the medication. As is well known, someone who is a chola sheyesh be'sakana, a person whose life is in danger, certainly could take anything necessary, when necessary, if nothing else is readily available. That doesn't only include, of course, an obvious sakana like, God forbid, a heart attack or stroke, but it even includes people that are in a condition of sakana. Diabetes, for example, could be sakana if it's not dealt with properly. You know, lung disease, depression, epilepsy, these types of issues are really sakana, and therefore such a person could really take what's necessary. Now, someone who's a chayil l'shem by sakana, someone who is ill, whose life is not in danger, and that would be, you know, your run-of-the-mill person who's sick in bed, with just, you know, a little fever, a little rundown. They're nafalamita, it's called. They're ill. Such a person, there are certain heterim. Ideally, we recommend such a person should look at the list, which has been produced by Rabbi Gershon Bess, Shlita Rav, in Los Angeles, in conjunction with the Kollel of Los Angeles. And that list he's actually been doing for I think, close to 30 years, if not more than 30 years. During the last 10 years, the Star K has actually published that list in conjunction with the Kollel of Los Angeles. We tell, ideally, a person should look at that list to see an item which is on that list. If a person, and to determine and confirm that it's a chametz-free item. So, for example, a pain reliever, which could be a chayil l'shem be'sakana. You know, there are many items on our list, on that list, of pain relievers. What we've included this year is a list of, we call it the quick pick list, which is pain relievers. It's got allergies, you know, different types of medications, stomach ailments, just a quick list of something. Someone wants to go out and buy something. These are the items that have been checked out. These are the items in that quick pick list are actually kosher as well, and they are chametz free. If it's not possible, there are certain heterim that a person who is a chayil l'shem be'sakana is allowed to take. For example, swallowing something, chayil l'shem be'sakana, if they can't find it on the list or it's not available in the form they want it, there's a heter for a person who is a chayil l'shem be'sakana to swallow something so that's meant to swallow. So like a pill, a tablet would be mutter for a chayil l'shem be'sakana to swallow. The third category...
Wait, can I just interrupt for a minute?
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, the Chazinish in Hilchos Pesach and Kufta Zayin and Sivkat and Ches, and Ramosha Feinstein, interestingly, in Arachayim and Simon Sadik Beis, both Shneim Nisnabu, B'Signei Nechad, and they both say that something that's not Roy Lachilas Kelev, which we would assume that most, I can't imagine a dog sitting down and eating a plate of aspirins or nitroglycerin or Sudafed or almost any type of a pill is mutter on Pesach. And there's no achshavei. They say that there's no, even if there's chametz gomer in it, they say there's no achshavei because on the chametz gomer, as long as it's not roi lachilas kelev. So they say even according to the rush of achshavei, it would still be muta. So why do we even need those lists? Like, why bother yourself with buying cumbersome lists? And why did the kohels bother making those lists when we have a chazenish? And the chazenish was a big machmir. He's like the most machmir. He's like all the way out to right field in the chumra. What do we need those lists for?
All right. So first of all, I'll answer that question specifically. But first of all, the third category certainly is why a person needs that list, because a chayla, someone who's not a chayla, someone who has a mechush, a discomfort, will need to, act. It doesn't necessarily have that heter in such a case. First of all, there are many items that don't fit the pill category. For example, liquids that do taste good could contain ingredients like sorbitol, which could be chametz based, and those taste good. So, first of all, part of that list is covering a lot of liquid medications, which don't fit into this issue and do taste good. And especially if a person is not a chayla, so that it's very hard to be makel for a person to take a liquid that tastes good if they're not a chayla sheish besakana. So that's number one. So that part of the list certainly assists in that. Number two is there's certain chumras of Pesach that people have kept for decades. For more than decades, we found a list from the 1920s from Germany where they actually, not exactly the same list, obviously, they're different medications, but Bishum Chumr de Pesach, people have been makbid on these items. And again, we're talking the 1920s in Germany. We're not talking, this is not a list out of B'nai Brak or Mea Sharim. This was in Germany in the 1920s where they had a list of items. I mean, it was even sometimes more chumr than things that are covered in the Kyle Los Angeles list. So you see, also the Chumra of Pesach, and one of the reasons of that is that there is an ability to extract the chametz from the product. You see, there's two types of items that are nifsal. Something could be spoiled. If you took a piece of bread, let's say, it got moldy and spoiled, so then the Pesach can speak about, that, whether that's mutter, nifsal, chilas kelev, etc. Here, you have an ingredient that could potentially be chametz that's in the pill, and that ingredient is still there, technically. Now, what's called Iruv by Dover Mar, which means you're mixing it with something, the active medication, which gives it a bitter taste. Technically, it's possible to separate those out, and you could have, and I've spoken to companies about this, you could have back your starch or your chametz ingredient, which comes back out of it. Now, normally, Maker Adin, it's mutter. However, because of Pesach, people say they want to be machmir in this nekuda, and therefore that's why historically people have been machmir. Now, al pi halacha, there's certainly a terim, a person has the ability
Rabbi,
to swallow
Rabbi
a pill.
Herber, the chazenish is not machmir. So why would we be machmir more than the chazenish?
Well, first of all, Rabbi Shis Tshuva, I believe is going on achshavei. Right? It's going on the union of achshavei specifically.
Right.
On that nekuda, because first of all, there are paiskim that say this chumra, and there's sort of mishum chumra de Pesach. There's an inyan
Example, who would be machmir more than the Igros Moshe or the Chazenish? Who specifically is machmir more than the Igros Moshe and the Chazenish?
Well, I don't think Rav Moshe was just out of hand. In other words, the Pribagadim writes that you say machil and I say akal akal when you have a choice between A and B. You go with what's more makel. So even if the Chazanish and Rav Moshe were makel, they again, I don't know if they addressed this Prima Gadim, but the Prima Gadim clearly says there's an inyan of Achil Esah Kal Akal even by these cases.
Not where it's Nifsal Me Achilas Kelev, it's earth.
No, because it's not, that's what I'm explaining. It's not earth. It's, you have a pill, if in a factory, you have a pill. The way a pill is made is as follows. There's a mixture of ingredients. They don't ruin the chametz ingredient.
Even the chametz ingredient a dog wouldn't eat. It's some inedible.
No, that's not true. It would be separated out.
Some inedible starch filler.
That's called Iruv by Dover Mar. That's called Iruv by Dover Mar. That's not nifsal. Nifsal means when you take something and you it gets ruined innately and cannot be transferred. That cannot come back to its original form. Iruv by Dover Mar is when you take an item and you mix something into it. So right now it becomes inedible.
So would a dog eat these fillers? A dog would actually sit down and eat the fillers that are put in?
If you separated it out, in other words, you could chemically, a company could technically separate out the chametz ingredients from if something is chametz, that is, right? The company has the ability to do that. Therefore, that's the din of Irbay Davar Mar. So this Be'etzem Zach is Mutar, but there are Paiskim, I believe, the Ma'idim Uzmanim, I believe, speaks about this in detail, where if you have something which you're able to separate out, there are Paiskim, there is such a concept of being Machmir. Now, normally, you may not be in need to do that, but for Pesach, you know, the Chumrat of Pesach, people have historically done that. But as I'm explaining, Maker Adin is correct, but there is a Machil Nasa Kalakal by an Irbay Davar Mar, which says if you have a choice between consuming something which is chametz when you have something that's equally as effective and available, in other words, you're standing in the store and you want to buy something, you could buy something with chametz or you could buy something without chametz, then the Prima Gunnim writes, just like for your listeners, I'll explain, Machil Nasa Kalakal is usually used by Sakonis Nefashis. In other words, somebody has 5 hours to get to the hospital for a danger. The halacha is we tell them take a taxi, because why drive when you have 5 hours to get there? Call a cab and go. The lady's expecting, you know, she's in labor. We tell them do that. Now, if a lady's in labor and she needs to get there, we say move it. If you're a mesupik, jump in the car and go as fast as you can. Obviously, when all else is equal, and a person has the ability to take the more makel route, or rather, excuse me, the more kal route, which means the less issue, we tell them, take the taxi to the hospital and don't drive. Again, we're talking about where everything's equal. You got 5 hours to get there. You know, there's no rush. A lot of ladies in labor. Anyway, don't run straight to the hospital. So Dr. Prima Gadim explains that this same concept by Chayla Sheish B'Sakana applies to these dinim of Chayla Sheim B'Sakana also, which means, and especially by Pesach, where you have ability A and ability B, and you're looking at both items, so why take the chametz item and come on to this? You may as well take the other route. But again, if you don't have that ability, and a person is a chayla, then certainly they're...
But Rabbi Herbert, I would say it is a chilek, okay? That the dinu machil and I say hakal hakal is where you have two items that are, there's a hierarchy of isser. Clearly you go with the lowest isser, the next highest isser, you go up the hierarchy, right? Even these starches, even if you were to separate them out, they would still not be royal achilas adam.
That's not true. They would be.
They would be royal achilas kelev. No person is going to sit down and eat this type of starch and sit down with a plate of this type of starch, right?
No, but you can take that starch and put it into whatever, however.
But as it is, it's not going to be edible. So inedible, if it's not royal achilas adam, it's only usher because of
mechama
bayas ha'isa. So you don't have to worry about that on Pesach.
There's a question. There's a product on the market called dextrin, right, which is used. I forgot the trade name for it. It's a wheat dextrin. Right, it's a dextrose item that people take and they mix it with water and they drink it. Now, is that edible? Yes, well,
definitely edible. And what do they drink it for?
They drink it for fiber.
Good. So but that's not a food that they drink it. Like, would you say
metamucil?
I don't mean that. Is metamucil a food?
No, if metamucil happens to be kosher Pesach, because
I don't mean that. But is somebody drinking a fiber for eichel or for bowel movement?
I think if someone drank a fiber which is wheat derived, it may be a chayvei krisus because it's edible. You mix it with water. That fiber again, there's a real process.
Is there any hana? Is anybody going to drink metamucil, unflavored metamucil, and have any hana from it?
I would not. I would clearly say that if a metamucil type product, right? If it's a metamucil type product that it's chametz gomer, no one would touch such a thing. I mean, Rachman al-Islam, to drink such a thing on Pesach, that's chametz gomer straight away. That's a big chiddush to matter that. I don't remember. Sure would never matter that.
Doesn't the Magen Avraham say that oat bran, the outer core of the oat, is not chametz, even though it comes from the oat itself? Doesn't the Magen Avraham say that in Tuf Mem something? I forgot the exact simon. So I mean, the concept of brand being mutter on Pesach is not because it's not, there's no hano whatsoever in it. It's not eaten as chametz. I mean, it could be a drabanan, but it's certainly no hano in it. I mean, it's.
I think you're getting more mekel than every agency, even the agencies that mutter, you know, pills and all that. They first of all, even those agencies that have come out lahuckle on certain items, right? Like where they say pills you could swallow, their Pesach, the Pesach say, you know. Like this, they themselves in their own lists are telling people by liquid medications.
Liquid medication is no. I'm just saying the Chazanish is moderate without any caveat.
But you're, extending the Chazanish to further than he's extending. He would never matter a wheat dextrin. That's chametz gomer. That's straight away chametz gomer.
I'm not saying chas v'shalom that to be matter meat dextrin. I'm maybe explaining why the Chazanish is saying
so
why he's being
matter. Now that we're answering wheat dextrin, my point is that a company has the ability to take out from a pill, a wheat starch, and get it back to its original state. They told me that it would be expensive to get it exactly. It may have a little color in it, etc., you know, to get the colors out exactly, but it would be back to its state the way they got it in the bag, basically, which is a chametz product, which is edible, which companies use that same starch. I mean, starch is used in an array of products that you eat every day, that your wife bakes or whatever it is. In products. So in other words, to say the minig in all kosher agencies is a treif ingredient. Let's say treif. We have this all the time. Fatty acids, triacetin. No one would eat a bowl of triacetin, right, which is a fatty acid-based, potentially treif ingredient. No one would touch it, but yet no kosher agency, any kosher agency, would allow a triacetin into a product unless the triacetin had a good hechsher on it. It's not edible as is. No one would touch it. It's acidic. You'd spit it out. But the answer is that goes into a food. An ingredient that's a food ingredient is also. So back to this point, the wheat starches that they're using, potentially, it's starch. It's really offshoots of starch. Wheat starch is rather rare, but it's offshoots of glucose, which would be chametz. Roquette in Europe makes glucose, which is chametz. Chametz gummer. Right, and glucose is a sweet ingredient, and an offshoot of the glucose could be an array of ingredients, sorbitol, etc. Typically, we get a lot of calls about lipsticks, toothpaste, and mouthwash because people don't want to put it in their mouth. Mouthwash and toothpaste, we beferish write in our guide on page 157 that it contains sorbitol and other ingredients which may be derived from chametz, although the halacha, these items are permissible to use since they are nifsal me'achila. Many prefer not to use it since they're taken orally.
Is it possible that since toothpaste tastes good, a dog would eat it?
I'm not sure. That gets into the getter of what considered nifsa mechilas kelev. I think we consider toothpaste nifsa mechilas kelev. That's what we wrote. Reviman holds it would be considered nifsa mechilas kelev. So again, al pi halach, it's 100% mutter. But again, al pesach, people have historically been makbid to make sure there's no chametz in it. They don't want to put chametz in their mouth.
Rabbi, let me change topics for a minute. What is the Star K's position on machine matzahs?
A machine matzahs.
Yeah.
If we have checked out a machine matzah, we're happy with the way it's produced, then we will add it to our list, to our Pesach list. In other words, certain critical items, many kosher agencies have a back and forth. We accept many ingredients. They accept many ingredients. There's a lot of back and forth that we have. Certain types of items we're extra makbid on. For example, meat on the Star K meat or meat which is used at Star K facilities will only be used if Rabbi Heinemann has been to the Schlachtos or you know a representative of Rabbi Heinemann has gone. That's not, in other words, to see it and use it. Matzah is similar, but not necessarily we walked in, but we're familiar with the operation. And those are the ones that are familiar and happy with the operation. So the machine matzah, if it's a good factory, you know, it'll be there. If you look at our list, you'll see we do have machine matzahs listed.
So we were asked the following shaila by a machanach, okay? He says, I don't have the money to, I have to make the choice between shmura matzah for Pesach or buying meat for Pesach.
I would say if his minig was always to eat shmura matzah, he should be matar neder on that minig, and he should buy meat for Yontif and only have shmura matzah by the Seder. But make sure to buy a brand which you know his Rav is comfortable with or his Meir HaRa is comfortable with, but not necessarily that it's Shmura Matzah.
go to Rav Gershon Bess of Los Angeles, California.
And also the Mechaber, the author of Passover Medicines and Cosmetics, which is a must-have in almost every from a household. It's published in conjunction with the Star K Worldwide Passover Directory to Medicines. Welcome, Harav Bess.
Thank you.
Harav Bess, could you give us just a thumbnail? What does somebody do when they have some medicine? It's like an unmarked pill. What do we do in such a situation?
Well, if medically the person needs it and he doesn't have the opportunity to be able to clarify whether or not there is a chametz in it, then they would have to take the pill, because there are enough mekilim, meikar adin, that one could take it even if there is a chametz ingredient. If the person has the opportunity to check either some Pesach lists provided, like by the guide that I put out for this, for as a public service of the Kollel in Los Angeles, or his Achdus has a very thorough list, and there are other lists, so that would, of course, would be the best if they can get in touch with somebody, with a pharmacist who's able to look up to see if there are any suspicious ingredients. All the ingredients, all the inactive ingredients are available for any prescription drug, and there are certain ingredients that can be a problem. For example, mannitol is something that is made out of wheat or corn, or polysorbate 80 sometimes is made from a wheat, even though mostly it's not made from wheat, it's made from corn. So the pharmacist usually will be able to see whether there's any suspicious-looking ingredients. Xanthan gum is another one that can be suspicious ingredient. But many, Baruch Hashem, many of the medications, even if with one company they may add a mannitol, other companies, the same exact drug, will not add a mannitol. So usually the pharmacist will be able to clarify, or they can call his Rav, who will do his own research to find out. It's interesting, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I asked Rav Meir Soloveitchik, Nebuch Zatzal, great loss for Klal Yisrael, I asked him whether he had any messiah or anything to say about this issue, about whether or not one should. And he said that his father, the Brisker Rav Zatzal, was makbid not to buy medications after Pesach from a pharmacist that didn't sell his chametz.
So even if it was Bishkarov, he lost Kelev?
Right. So Bishkarov, that's what I asked him about. So Bishkarov was machmir even on... Okay, that's the Bishkarov. Not bringing him. But I'm just saying, it was the minig of Klal Yisrael all through the generations to be machmir on this.
So why wasn't the Chazanish machmir?
Well, we don't know if the Chazanish was machmir or not. I don't know if it was machmir or not. When he writes in the Sefer, when he writes discussing the Iker Din, that is, but, many, we know many, many, many things that the Chazanish writes in the Sefer Iker Din. So, the fact that he discusses it, even though he himself has, a little footnote, not a footnote, but in the bracket, which means like a later madura, that, he added on later that if it's Me'uru B'Yadayim, I'm sure you saw it, Almanas to eat the chametz if it's made before in order to eat it. So it's not like 100% clear. And also, the Chazanish also, we see his Meikil on another Nakuda, which is not so poshut in the Poskim. In the Poskim, constantly we see that by chametz, it has to be Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev. Chazanish learns, like the Ran Taka says, Shalas had to learn of the Ram, but the Chazanish learns Lamaisa, that any time that the chametz is not in a position that it could be, that it could make a dough, use it as a sap, make it to be mechametz something else, so he says it only needs this mechilas adam. Now, it's takem in asvara, that's, one could surely extrapolate that from the run, but from the steamers hapoiskim all over, any of these chametzes to say that if I would put this in a bread, it would make it, ferment, is very rochik in the Metzius to say that. And yet, all the Poskim constantly are using, in all these cases, when it's mixed with other things, in these Nifsim Echilas Kalev. So Chazanish seem to learn the Ran Mamet, not that it's a gilui in the din of Chametz, because of the Royal Chameya, but it actually has to really be Royal Chameya.
Well,
just one more point, to just say that the Bir Halacha, says clearly that if a person takes a food, a chametz, and he mixes into it dvarim charifim, that because of the charifis you can't eat it. Like he asks as if it's like pashut. He says, isn't it pashut that's not going to make the chametz be considered not nifsal me'achila? It's not going to be considered nifsal just because you were eaten by davar charif, that machmas charifus, and now it can't be eaten. That's not going to make the pasul the chametz. So it's not like 100% pashut. You know, there's much like written and discussed about it. So if you're asking, you know whether there's a need for the list, I would. I'm not known to be a machmir, and surely, you know, everybody is going to say that if a person needs a medication with hulu, that and he doesn't have available, that he doctor should take it, no question. But whether it's been the messiah of the doiris, that this is one of the.
So, Rabbi Bass, can I ask you a two? By the way, the din of lechame by Isa is usually when it's nifsal meachilas adam, not meachilas kelev. So I think Chavinish is going, if it's not nifsal meachilas adam, he says it's not roi lechamabai, but if nifsal meachilas kelev, it wouldn't matter anymore, even if it was lechamabai. It would. So, Rav Bess, let me ask you another follow-up question. Would you say that the chumris of that we're discussing, that it's a mashahu, or maybe that that we go lefnei meshuras hadin, would you do the same for kitnius as well, or only for chametz, or would you do it even for the minig of kitnius?
That also is a very good question. Now, it's just surely on the kidneys, and if there's a reason for medication, or if it's nifsal, really, that's not edible, I don't think that there's a chumrah of kidneys in such a case.
So then let me ask you a follow-up question, Rabbi. Let's say vitamins that are not chewable, you know, those horrible, they smell absolutely awful when you open the bottle. You can't even believe you have to take one of them. Would those, in your opinion, for Pesach, in a case by vitamins, assuming that the issue is kidneyus, would you say on those they would also need a hechsher if it was a kidneyus issue or not?
It's not fair to ask me that question, meaning that personally I don't know that there's a messiah or any messiah to be machbir on kidneyus that a nifsal or medication. And my assumption is that there is no such chumrah that people took on. With chametz, they took on. But with kidneys, etc., if it's not edible and it's not roi l'achila, and if there's any tzairich at all, even vitamins, I personally would not be machmir on such a thing. So, I don't know, but if you're asking a question, is there such a, are there people that are machmir? I am sure that there are people that are machmir. And tov aleihem bracha. The question is, what about if there's kidneys and it's taka bottle b'shishim? In that case, and I know it was put in l'chatchila for that purpose, and it's an eichel, is that something to be machmer about or not? Now, it's like, you know, it used to be always that, you know, all the Pesach lists would have that you can take this orange juice without hechsher, as long as it doesn't have citric acid. Now, the citric acid is mashahu compared, and the citric acid, maybe there's shayel chametz, but really, you know, we know it's, you know, basically from corn. So yet, you know, seemed that maybe by Eichel, it would seem that, you know, people were more lenient on it. I mean, we're still a little bit more machmir on the kidneys than we came bottle even before Pesach. So again, it's very hard. You know, I've discussed with some people, and they said, avada nisht, you know, even if it's bottle, the Pesach. So it's very hard to, you know, to know exactly how far the Chumrah de Pesach goes. But I did see, and I'll share this with you, that I did see recently brought down, actually my son, Binyamin Zev from South Fallsburg, sent it to me, that he brought from the Rinder Rebbe, that in the Zohar HaKadosh it says that the Dikdukim, that Klal Yisrael Medagdik on Shmir of Chametz, is Kemoi Tachshite Kala. It's like the adornments you make for a kala. Shekama shemosifin lo yoiser tachshitim hu no yoiser. That just like a kala, the more that you beautify her, the beautiful more she looks. Kmo kein. Ava chumra she yisro machmirim bepesach. Shehem yabim mahajin es ha-mitzvah. And for each chumra, the Rabbani Shalom is mispo erbanu. So he writes there that, you know, and I just thought of the mamish the marshal, like with a chasana. Go to a chasana, like every detail And it's not necessary. Chasa works with just plain, you know, tablecloth. But it has to be with these flowers and with this decoration and with the mints on it. Everything on it. Why? It's for my son. It's for my daughter's wedding. I want it to be beautiful. So that's how the saying in Zohar Kodesh, it says that it's not necessary. You can get along, and the wedding will be perfect, the same kedushin, the same chuppah. But it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, when he made us into an ummah. This is our yontif together with Rabbeinu Shalom, the melech and Klal Yisrael, the kala. So the Zohar is telling us every digduk we do to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's, you know, that's like beautifying the kala.
And we, you know, we have the Rekeach that says that the seven brachas before Achilas Matzah is like the brachas by the chuppah.
Very, very good.
So it's consistent. So, by best, we've never had the honor of having somebody from Los Angeles. We've had from most corners of the globe. So before you sign off, perhaps you could give us a thought. We have many people listening who are going to want to say over something nice by the Haggadah, by the Seder. Give us a message.
Hey, that's a toughie. But I'm also a Talmud of Rabbi Miller Zatzal, Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal. And the avoda of this night is to give over the Messiah and to give over the emunah that it's dor achador, generation after generation, father to son, father to son, not like Lahavdil Elef Avdolas, the goyim, that somebody had a dream and somebody had an epileptic attack, and he told his things, and the fact that a billion people know about it today, they all know about it, that one person said something. But the only religion in the world that is able to claim that something happened in front of a million people, which is a sheker that can't be made up, the only nation is only Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam actually says that it's only Klal Yisrael that was able to say that there was nisim performed not to some disciples or not to some Arab Bedouins, but rather in front of an entire nation, a Kabbalah Satira and the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what our emunah is based on. And unfortunately, I think, and others, greater people think, that not enough attention is paid to actually clarify the emunah to our children, that then Chalila, when they're 19, 20, 21, and suddenly they become confronted with another lifestyle and with other things, they're not prepared. I was speaking once to the Tolner Rebbe, Shlita in Yerushalayim, and he said, "Enough land and emuna to the kingdom. Enough Israel and emuna. Have to teach them emuna. We can't. We always went with osmosis, but it doesn't work like that. And we have to clarify clearly why the Messiah of Klal Yisrael is a true Messiah, and the fact that there's millions of people and billions of people that believe other things, what go back, and what is all that based on? That's really the avoda of the Leil of the Seder. And it's interesting to note, somebody had faxed me just yesterday a few lines that Rav Dessler Zatzal had written, that it seems Rav Dessler during the wartime was alone, and somebody invited him to come to the Seder, to his family Seder. And the Rav Dessler writes amazingly, and if we can swallow it, he says, inviting just, you know, somebody to the Seder to come join me for my Seder is like somebody invites his friend, come join with me, we're going to daven Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. He says, just like, You don't invite, you know, as he says, the night of the Seder is such a heilige Nacht to give over the Messiah of Klal Yisrael becoming an ummah through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't waste it with, idle talk and just, having a good meal. So I guess if there's a lesson that Rabbi Miller had always emphasized about the Leil Seder, is the big avoida of giving over with clarity the emunah to our children. Amen.
Phone from Cleveland. Harav Baruch Hirschfeld, who's the Dayan and Rosh Kollel in Cleveland. Welcome, Rav Hirschfeld.
Hello, thank you.
So, Rabbi Hirschfeld, we were asked by a number of people the following question. We do not have enough money to do all the mitzvahs on Pesach. So our minig is to eat Shmura Matzah all of Pesach.
After the first two nights, we have the following choice. We could eat shmura machine matzah, or we could eat hand shmura matzah. But if we choose to eat shmura matzah, which is expensive, we would not be able to buy our wife a new dress for Yom Tov. Do we buy machine matzah and buy our wife the dress, or do we buy hand matzah and not buy our wife the dress?
That's an interesting question. So I'd like to analyze the question by going through the pros and cons of machine versus hand matzahs. Why some people don't want machine matzahs and why some want hand matzahs. And I think from analyzing the reasons and pros and cons, we'll be able to come to an answer to this question. So when machine matzahs first came out, it was very much like a pulley system run by people turning wheels. As it evolved, it became electrical, and then the questions came into play as follows. The first bunch of G'dayim who said not to use machine matzahs felt it can't be lishmo. We know, Pesachim Daf Mem, u'shmartum es matzahs yester shmira u'shei matzahs mitzvah. And if a machine is doing it, so it's being done by itself. It's like matzah made by a goy or a chesh made for cotton who can't do a lishma, and it's not a kosher matzah to get its mitzvahs on Pesach night. So the first ones who ask machine matzah says it's not made lishma. It's like made like a chesh made for cotton, and therefore it can't be called lishma. Now, lemaisa, both machine matzahs and hand matzahs have come a long way. Many, many chumas done nowadays that weren't done earlier to clean the equipment well, and to make sure that everything's done well. So really, everybody seems to agree that you don't find by the machine and by the hand. Just some say this full entry of the machine might make a chash chimritz, but not everybody holds of that. So now, if a person asks, you can ask Pesach might be say the end for the whole Pesach, using hand or machine matzahs. So I think the answer is like this. If somebody has a clear mitzvah, that his obviously his part of the world where his parents came from, and they used only machine or only hand, he should carry on the meaning of the obvious. If the obvious who makpid to have hand shmura for a whole Pesach, he should keep on that meaning. If it's only for the Seder they had it, unless the Pesach lav dafka, then that's also acceptable meaning. But you should keep the meaning of the obvious. So now the question was asked, if it comes now, a person has a choice to buy a hand shmura for the whole Yom Tov and not be able to buy his wife a dress, or to buy a machine for the rest of Pesach and be able to buy the wife a dress, I would say it depends. If this person has a mitzvah minig, and because that minig he was omakta to always eat only hand shmura, I hold he should keep that.
Thank you very much. That was Dayan Baruch Hirschfeld, the Dayan Reish Koyel of Cleveland. We have with us on the phone Rabbi Yosef Weiner. He's the Marad Asra of Gehillah Shara Shemaim of Muncie, New York. He's a prolific lecturer. He's on Torah Anytime. He speaks all over. Welcome, Rabbi Weiner.
Thank you very much for having me again.
So we have Rabbi Weiner. We have a Shiloh that was asked by Daniel Soloff, Rabbi Daniel Soloff of Lakewood, that he got this question. And it's, I think, a very powerful question. He said he was asked this by a number of mechanchim. And sadly, you know, this is a topic that Rabbi Mizrahi from Brooklyn has been speaking about. They said, you know, we don't have a lot of money for Pesach. And there's, you know, there's a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. And we have money for shmura matzahs, hand shmura matzahs, the first night and the second night. And after that, shmura matzahs are very expensive. They can be $25 a pound, or, you know, $30 a pound, or $20. But it's a lot of money. I'm not sure exactly, you know, depending on your chumris. And if we buy the family and their mishpachas that are bruchei yeladim, shmura matzahs, we will not be able to eat meat the rest of Yom Tov. So our minig is to eat shmura matzahs, and, you know, we recognize the chumris. But on the other hand, the Rambam in, you know, in Shvisas Yom Tov, in Perik Vav Tezayin, he says, or Halach Yud Ches, he says that is a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, and ain't Simcha Ela B'Bas of Yayin. So do we eat Shmura Matzah the rest of Yom Tov? Or do we eat those horrible words, machine matzahs, right?
Are you referring to Machine Shmur or Machine Non-Shmur?
Let's say Machine Shmur, which is still relatively cheap. It's $3 or $4 a pound. But if we eat Machine Matzis, then, which the Sanzarov was so against, we will not be able to eat meat on Pesach. Which do we do?
Just a short review on the old machlokes between the Machine Matzah and the Hand Matzah. As is somewhat well known, in the 1800s, they started with the original versions of the machine. Divrei Chaim, Shlomo Kluge, and others were very against it on a number of fronts. First one, obviously, is the kashrus issue. Is the chametz, residual chametz, sticking to the machine? Can they clean it well? Even when they said they would clean it well, was it actually being cleaned between runs? Originally, it was not. And that was a serious concern. The good news is, on that front, it has gotten 1,000 times better. There are those that say the machine matzahs today, from a kashrus standpoint of chametz, is either as good, and some say it's even better. The second issue is an issue of lishma, which is only an issue for the first two nights, the first two starim. And the question is, can a person create lishma by pressing a button? Does everything that the automated system does for the next 10, 15 minutes accrue to my maisa, or is it separated, in which case the machine's doing it and that can't create lishma? On that, many poskim are makel as well. That would affect, of course, writing Sifrei Torah and other things as well. That would cut across many areas of halacha. But that is the second part of the machlokes. The Shlomo Kluge was also worried at those times of people who depended on the jobs, losing their jobs from the hand factory to the machines. That might or might not be an issue today, but the way it fell out, most people for the storm are using hand matzah. There are those who are, quote-unquote, they're mahada to use machine, but they like the kashrus better. But your shayla, I believe, was really for the rest of Pesach. If they can't afford the shmur for the entire family for the rest of Pesach, at the expense of not being able to afford basar v'yayin, what should go first? So the good news is that the machine shmur, again, from the kashrus standpoint, depending on which company, some are better than others, but there are some state-of-the-art facilities that have cleaning processes in place that are unbelievably done well, automated, and machines don't make mistakes. So from a kashrus standpoint, if a person doesn't have a mesura otherwise, obviously most will see them, if not all of them, follow the Divrei Chaim and will not use machine at all. Somebody from a more literature background, the yeksha background, really should have not much of an issue, besides, of course, the taste. That might not be an enhancement of the Simchas Yontif because the hand, according to many, tastes better. But if it's a choice between basar v'yayin versus machine shmura and hand shmura, I would tell people from those persuasions to go with the machine for the rest of the Pesach and use the hand for the Leil Sedarim to get out of the Shaila of the Lishma issue, even if the Chametz perspective is certainly under control.
Agreed. And what would you say to somebody who is Hasidish?
If they're following all the Chasidishim and Hagim and Mesera, Lekula, and Lechumra, and the Divrei Chaim said no, again, scholastically, intellectually, one could argue the Divrei Chaim's main issue was the Chametz, and we've probably not only repaired that issue, but excelled in it. Lamaisa Divrei Chaim, in his brilliance, did not say the reason. Idafka said he wasn't going to say the reason.
He said, Tam Kamos, he writes. He says, I will not reveal the reason.
Exactly. Which means he didn't want it. And part of the issue, of course, was Chodesh Shosam and Atayra, and there were a lot of changes. The Ascala was making inroads, and they wanted good old-fashioned matzahs, round matzahs like Moshe Rabbeinu had, and there's a lot to be said for that. So, Lamaisa, I think that for those who are following such an hanhaga, it wouldn't even add to their Simchas Yontif because they'd be so upset about having to use the machine. I think the basar v'yayin wouldn't taste very good at that point.
Uh-huh. And I think it's probably fair to say that in the Divrei Chaim's times, people were probably pretty poor, much more than today. And when he said that, he may have assumed that people wouldn't eat meat because of his chumra, no?
Possibly, but I think he held that this was right in the middle of the Tkufa where many changes were coming fast and furious and getting all the Gedolei Yisrael very nervous for good reason, and there's automatically going to be pushback with that, and those who are still holding firm to the fact that they're not changing the Messiah, certainly is something to be said for that.
Chag Kosher V'Sameach to all our guests. I look forward to speaking to you again after Yom Tov. This is David Lichtenstein for Headlines Radio.